Welsh Political Icons, Abdulrahim Abi Farah, by Ian Johnson. Welsh Political Icons. Abdulrahim Abi Farah was born in Wales in 1919 and died in New York in 2018 at the age of 98. His long life is best remembered for his decades-long struggle to coordinate international support against South Africa's apartheid regime, a racist form of government in place for more than 40 years in the 20th century. It was Farah who led the United Nations deputation to the country in early 1990 to confirm that the regime was being dismantled in accordance with the agreements made, having previously been chair of the UN Special Committee on Apartheid during the 1960s and chair of the 1972 UN Security Council meeting at Addis Ababa on matters related to Africa, the first time in 20 years that the UN had met outside of its New York headquarters. Anybody with a knowledge of politics will know that changing world policies and international diplomats are akin to waiting decades for the water drips on a stone. Dyfal donca dir y garreg, as the Welsh saying goes. But Farah succeeded in keeping the issue on the world stage of the United Nations, in his role first as the Somali representative to the UN, and later as Under Secretary General with responsibility for special political questions. How then to account for the role of Somali diplomat within the pantheon of Welsh political icons? For me, Farah's personal and political story presses a series of buttons relevant to historical and modern Wales. His story speaks to issues about how we choose our canon of Welsh heroes, particularly important in the context of the new curriculum for Wales and 2020's Black Lives Matter debates. It speaks to the role and remembrance of diasporic links amongst communities who have long been part and parcel of Wales, yet of whom most Welsh people have little genuine knowledge. And in the context of debates around Welsh independence, this is a man who genuinely oversaw the birth of a new country, Somalia, even if later years might not make it the perfect example to follow. Like me, Farah spent his formative years in Barry, a docks town on the south coast of Wales. With hindsight, it shocks me that I was never told about as a child, but Barry's a town whose history has long been hidden from itself. A thrusting entrepreneurial trade centre which grew from a population of 400 in 1881 to 40,000 people a few decades later, Barry was the world's primary coal exporting port prior to World War I. It was a melting pot of a town, one which gave rise to Gwynfor Evans, for many decades leader of the Welsh nationalist movement, and to Gareth Jones, the investigative journalist who exposed the failures of Stalin's agriculture reforms, reforms that led to a million deaths through hunger and starvation in the Ukraine, before his kidnap and murder, believed to be by KGB operatives. It was a town in which anything could be achieved. But it wasn't always for the good, as seen by the Barry race riots, which took place in 1919, the year of Abdulrahim Abi Farah's birth. In September 1919, a few weeks before Farah's birth in October, an on-street quarrel led to the fatal stabbing of Chilean sailor Jose Martinez by Ulsterman Alexander Craig, following on from wider-scale riots in the town earlier in the year. Barry's Thompson Street was in many ways not dissimilar to Tiger Bay, in its boarding houses hosted sailors from across the globe, a constantly shifting population of seamen and those who'd made their new town their home. His mother, Hilda Anderson, is usually described as English, but historian Jim Baker describes her as being born in Cardiff on Christmas Day 1891. In 1910, she married Somali-born Abi Farah, a sailor and businessman later awarded an MBE by King George VI for his help for colonial sailors during the World Wars. Abi Farah Sr. is said to be from the Berbera region of Somalia on the northern coast of the Horn of Africa, capital of the British Somali Protectorate from its establishment in 1884 until the transfer of power to Hargeisa during World War II. The family lived at 50 Thompson Street, with Hilda Anderson running, Abi Farah's mother, running a boarding house, presumably from the same premises. Farah Sr. was a member of Thompson Street's Colonial Club, playing a role in the civic business of the town, and later played a role in the creation of the multiracial Dominoes Club, children's youth club for the area. As a child, Abdulrahim Abi Farah attended Glaston Primary School, and then Barry County Grammar School before being sent to British East Africa as administrator. As a 17-year-old, Farah was sent to Hargeisa in British Somaliland, where he became a clerk and then magistrate with the British Colonial Services, also fighting in World War II as a commander for British forces in East Africa. After the war, he graduated from Exeter and Oxford in civic administration before returning to the Horn of Africa, where he spent the 1950s working in the Trust Territory of Somaliland, the Italian-administered territories which had Mogadishu as a capital. The independent Somali Republic in 1960 was formed by the merger of the two British and Italian protectorates, the British Somaliland in the north understandably being the region with closest links to Wales. In 1961, Farah became the Somali ambassador to Ethiopia then under the rule of Emperor Haile Selassie. This was perhaps the biggest role for a Somali diplomat, as the two neighbours continued an ongoing border dispute over the Ogaden region, considered part of Great Somalia by some. The two countries would later go to war. Farah also represented the new country at the Organisation of African Unity and to the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa. In 1965, he became the permanent representative of Somalia to the United Nations, a post he held until 1972. During that era, he served as acting director of Somalia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and in 1969 became the chair of the recently formed UN Special Committee on Apartheid, created by United Nations Resolution 1761. Many Western countries did not participate in the committee's early years because they would not support an economic boycott of South Africa. Somalia underwent regime change from 1969 onwards. Mohamed Siad Barre's military revolution declared Somalia a socialist state, and it appears that Farah, who was linked to the previously elected Somali Youth League, took a back seat in terms of Somali domestic politics. Barre led Somalia to a disastrous war with Ethiopia in 1977-78, and the 1980s civil war and attempted genocide brought about the 1991 Somaliland Declaration of Independence for the North, the former British colony. Since that time, Somaliland is self-governed, while the remainder of Somalia is frequently described as a failed state, lacking in democracy and governance. Somaliland is still barely recognised on the international stage, despite 30 years of self-declared independence and recent democratic elections. In that context, it's a little ironic that the 30th anniversary of the Independence Declaration was celebrated in 2021 by Cardiff Council, led by a British Unionist administration. Internationally, though, Farah continued his work. He's credited with arranging the UN's meeting in Ethiopia's capital, Addis Ababa, in 1972, the first time since the permanent location in New York was established in 1952 that they had met elsewhere. He was president of a six-day UN Security Council meeting on questions relating to Africa, alongside Umar Artek Alib, with votes taken on resolutions about independence for Namibia, criticism of South Africa's apartheid regime, and ongoing repression in Portuguese territories in Africa. Writing in 1974 on apartheid, he began his case by arguing that the existence of the government of South Africa's apartheid policy, which is racism in its most extreme form, is a challenge of the same moral order as slavery in the 18th century or the Nazi persecution of the Jews in the 20th century. He was a diplomat who wasn't sat on the fence. Back in New York, Farah continued to work within the United Nations, becoming first an Assistant Secretary-General for Special Political Questions between 1973 and 1978, before becoming the Under-Secretary-General from 1979 until 1990. The South African apartheid rules had been extended to neighbouring Namibia, also known as Southwest Africa, making that an additional focus of Farah's work before the country gained independence. The South African question has been on the international agenda for many decades, but during the 1980s, pressure from economic, sporting and cultural boycotts began to be felt, and South Africa's isolation became almost total, filtered through Hollywood movie villains and spitting images never met a nice South African lampooning of the political situation. It was late in 1989 that the full meeting of the United Nations passed a declaration which set out 9 aims and preconditions for negotiations with South Africa. But after more than 40 years of apartheid government and international discussion, nobody could take words at face value. In June 1990, Farah led the UN mission on progress made on the Declaration on Apartheid and its destructive consequences on South Africa, effectively overseeing the dismantling of South Africa's apartheid state and completing the work of several decades of campaigning at international non-governmental level. This involved discussions around the release of political prisoners, only a handful of whom had so far been allowed their freedom, even though they included the high-profile Nelson Mandela, and the removal of troops from the townships, freedom of movement and assembly for all races. At the time of his visit, it's anticipated that more than 3,000 political prisoners were still behind bars in the country. The process took several years to complete, before South Africa's first set of free and fair elections took place in April 1994. In retirement, Farah helped start the Partnership to Strengthen African Grassroots Organisations, PASIGO, which he chaired, and established a hospital for landmine victims in Somalia. Abdulrahim Abiy Farah died in New York in May 2018, aged 98 years old. In his obituaries, his family note that he maintained his Welsh accent throughout his life and pride in his origins, despite decades working as an international diplomat in both Africa and at the United Nations. In drawing together this brief biography, I make no claim to be an expert on Abdulrahim Abiy Farah. If I've misunderstood or misunderstood his aims, goals or beliefs, I apologise, and I'm happy to be corrected so their understanding of him can be improved. I'm sure there's much more to tell of a fascinating man who made a genuine global impact. I return now to some of the points I raised earlier about Wales. How does a man who clearly achieved so much in the world remain so unknown in the country in which he was born and raised? What can we do to ensure our Welshness is inclusive rather than exclusive? And in the context of the new curriculum for Wales and the Black Lives Matter debates, how do we use this opportunity to discuss Wales and its global diasporic relationships? Even the Farah family's connection goes deeper. A further member of the family, Abdi Rahman Abdi Farah. Abdi Farah was a product of Glaston Primary in Barry County School and a government minister in the new Somali government until the military coup, later becoming the BBC Somali correspondent for 18 years. Family members still live in Wales with deep roots in the community in Cardiff. I was privileged in a different role to attend an event with Somaliland Mental Health Organisation some years ago, which gave me an insight into the situation and history. What do people in Wales know of the impact of the military coup and attempted genocide of the Isaac clan in what we now call Somaliland? More than 50,000, perhaps up to 100,000, were killed in the Hargeisa Holocaust at the end of the 1980s, with Hargeisa's population shrinking from around 370,000 to just 70,000 people as the population fled the devastation brought upon them. This traumatic event is a scar upon one of Wales's oldest communities, but most people in Wales won't have heard of it. The merger of the British and Italian Somali Protectorates lasted 30 years, another 30 years now since Somaliland declared its independence, albeit without proper international recognition. It's good that Somaliland is now included briefly within the Welsh Government's 2020-25 Cymru Africa strategy, but just as we should ask ourselves searching questions about the Welsh role in Patagonia, our most common touchpoint for Wales in the world, we should be asking ourselves how we can best recognise and work with communities in Wales and Somaliland to everybody's benefit. Abdulrahim Abi Farah's global impact and his work in defeating the South African apartheid regime provides us with an iconic Welsh Somali figure who can and should be recognised in the country of his birth and in our school curriculum. I hope that we take this opportunity to do so. Thank you very much for listening.